Good morning, everyone. Let's just pray now as we come to God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to your word now, Father, let all glory and praise be to you. Father, teach us by your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. Father, we might grow to be more like Jesus. So we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to imagine I want you to imagine as you're driving along the highway, you're happily sitting on 110 kilometres an hour, and you come across a sign that says reduce speed, roadworks ahead. And all of a sudden the speed goes from 110 down to 80, down to 60, maybe even down to 40. Now, if you're anything like me, you might slow down a token amount, just a little bit, because you're looking around, you're thinking, it's the weekend, there's no one working. So you see the change road sign, but you don't really fully respect its authority, because that change speed is only temporary, and you can't see any work going on. What do you do in that same situation, though, if along with that reduced speed sign, you see a sign that says, speed cameras monitoring this area? All of a sudden, you have a different outlook. Suddenly, you respect that speed because of that speed sign there. That speed sign reflects the authority of the police, and so you obey it. Because if you don't, there's a chance you'll get a lovely letter in the mail with a beautiful picture of your number plate. And that lovely letter's going to say, you're doing 80 in the 60 zone. This is how much it's going to cost you. So we respect the authority behind the speed camera because the authority of the police behind it have the authority to penalise you for doing the wrong thing. So authority is something or someone who has power to influence and enforce behaviour on someone else. Authority has the power to demand obedience. Authority has the power to uphold values. Now what I've just said is what authority looks like in the eyes of an everyday person. The laws and authority of man can be flaunted by those who disobey, and they can get away unscathed. What about the authority of God? And the entire Bible really talks about the authority of God in Christ. The Old Testament points forward to his coming. It points forward to our need for him. And he is called the servant of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. He's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Old Testament points to the authority of Christ. When we come to the New Testament, what's the first thing we see of Jesus? In Matthew's Gospel, we see the angel telling Joseph that the baby that Mary will have will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, and that baby will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And that same angel told Mary that the baby she would have would be called the Son of the Most High, that his kingdom shall have no end. Now that's everlasting dominion, because Jesus himself is God. And so we should understand that Christ came into the world with the full authority of God. And the writer of the Hebrews tells us the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by the power of his word. I want you to take note, sustaining all things, all. All things fall into the line of God's governance, his rule, his sovereignty, his will, his justice, and his power. You can flaunt the laws of our country if you're so inclined and get away with it. But not the law of God. God's authority is final and complete. And when Jesus came, that authority came into the world in the flesh of a man. And that's what we see in our passage this morning. We see the authority of Jesus, first in his word, then in his teaching. Second, we see the authority of Jesus over the supernatural world. And third, we see the authority of Jesus over the natural world, over the natural afflictions of man. So as we come to our passage, we now see that Jesus has left Nazareth and he's come to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. And there we see him teaching in the synagogue. And so we read in verse 32, the people who heard him were amazed at his teaching, for his message had authority. And what they heard from Jesus was like nothing that they had heard before. It was not like the teaching of their own scribes and lawgivers, which would have sounded a little bit like this. Well, Gamaliel says this. Well, Bezalel says that. When Helabab, well, he says this, and it's something different. But this is what I think. That's how they spoke. That's how they taught. It was all their own words. I think you get the picture. Jesus' teaching wasn't like that of their religious leaders. Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke as one who had come from God and was himself God. The word translated here as authority also means power. Jesus spoke with the true power of authority. And I want you to look for a moment at the teaching of Jesus throughout the New Testament. Jesus spoke about my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Jesus never uses the word our, because he is speaking as one who has come from God and is himself God. When Jesus' disciples come to him and say, teach us to pray, he tells them, this is how you should pray, our Father. But I want you to take notice, he doesn't include himself in that. He says, this is how you should pray. Jesus said, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, to anyone to whom the Son will reveal him. Jesus is saying, he is my Father, and I have come from him, and he is your Father, because I have revealed him to you. This is the authority with which Jesus spoke. Look throughout the New Testament and see the I statements that are written there. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate, I am the bread of life, and before Abraham was born, I am. Now these are all emphatic statements. Jesus is saying, I'm all these things. So if I didn't know you this morning, I might come up to you and say, hi, I'm Russell. And I can do that because that's my name. What if I came up to you and said, hi, I'm Russell? It'd sound a bit strange for our ears, wouldn't it? That's not how we speak. That's speaking with emphasis. That's speaking emphatically. And we don't naturally speak like that in our English language, but that's how they spoke. They spoke with emphasis in Jesus' time. And so when Jesus is saying those things about himself, he's saying, I am those things. And he can truly say that about himself because he was speaking from the point of perfect authority. So look at the Sermon on the Mount for a moment. How many times do we hear Jesus say there, you have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus' teaching wasn't just the act of doing or following command. It was the heart behind the command and the heart behind human obedience. What was the result of all that Jesus taught on that mount? The The result is when Jesus had finished these words, and this is from Matthew's gospel, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their own scribes. Throughout the Old Testament, there was not a prophet who spoke like this. The word of the prophet was, "So says the Lord." But Jesus says, I say to you. That's because Jesus has final authority. The scriptures are written as men were carried by the Holy Spirit of God. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us in John 16, is to make the things of Christ known. The Apostle John tells us of an occasion when the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest Jesus. When the temple guards heard Jesus speak, they returned to the Pharisees empty-handed. And the Pharisees said to them, "Why have you come back empty-handed?" The guards replied, "Never did a man speak the way this man speaks." Those temple guards sensed a higher authority in how Jesus spoke, and it kept them from arresting him. Whenever Jesus performed miracles, the people were amazed. And in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, "No one can do what you do if God were not with him." The authority with which Jesus spoke made the people conscious of a greater authority beyond the realms of this world. Never did a man speak like this. So the next time you're reading through the Gospels, or maybe you're reading through them right now, take notice of how Jesus speaks, of how he refers to himself, and you will see the authority of who Jesus is. The Gospel and the entire New Testament point to and shine forth the final authority of Jesus Christ as Lord. And as you read them, listen to the voice of God the Father say to you, as he said to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him." Now that's final authority. Are we listening? Are we hearing the words of Jesus through God's word? Don't let your familiarity with the Bible keep you from being amazed. The Bible isn't just a collection of stories and rules and facts. It is telling us that the living God has come in the flesh. Jesus taught and spoke with authority, and the people were amazed. So secondly, we see Jesus' authority over the supernatural world, or more precisely here, authority over the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And so Jesus was in the synagogue, and he was teaching, no doubt, a similar message to which he spoke in Nazareth when he proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim good news. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free." In verse 43 of our passage, Jesus says, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God." I want you to think about that for a moment. What would the message of Jesus in that synagogue have sounded like to the spiritual forces of evil who were present? To proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free, proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, these statements made by Jesus through God's intent in Christ. And Christ's intent and authority of war on the spiritual forces of evil. And the demon in that synagogue knew it. Paul tells the Corinthian church the devil masquerades as an angel of light. So that demon-possessed man has sat quietly in the congregation of the synagogue for who knows how many years. That should be a warning to us. But on this day, Jesus spoke, and the demon knew the authority of him who spoke. It knew the sovereign power of the one who was present, and it trembled in fear at the presence of Jesus and at the knowledge of its doom that awaited it. So it cries out in fear, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." In response to Jesus' teaching, the demon in the sense is saying, "Why have you come to fight us? Why have you come to attack us?" But Jesus doesn't answer. He doesn't respond to it. He simply commands, "Be quiet. Come out of him." When Jesus tells it to be quiet, he is literally commanding, "Be muzzled." And the demon spoke not a single word more. Its tongue was stopped. And in that moment, it was rendered mute. Then Jesus commands, "Come out of him." And instantly the demon came out, throwing the man to the ground. But I want you to take notice of the care and detail of the physician Luke's words here. "And it came out without injuring him." Now that's only a small detail, but add to the sentence, it shows the authority of Jesus, not only in the instant muting and the instant obedience, but that the authority of Jesus meant that it came out without harming him. Like a criminal wouldn't perform a crime in the presence of a policeman, neither did the demon do one last act of cruelty and wickedness to that man in the presence of Jesus. It left without harming him. Jesus' total authority was known and understood and obeyed. So the people would be amazed at the authority of Jesus and his teaching. Now they saw the power and authority demonstrated before their very eyes. They were all amazed, saying, "What words are they? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." But we should ask ourselves here, what does this mean for us this morning? It means that Jesus has the power and authority to change lives. It means that Jesus has the power and authority to rescue sinners completely from the evil one, to set the captives free, to open blind eyes and rescue the oppressed. Now, just like Jesus demonstrated this in a synagogue over 2,000 years, Paul would later write to the Romans, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." All the trouble and struggles we have in this world are a result of sin and the workings of the kingdom of darkness. What a blessing it is, and what peace and joy we have, knowing that Jesus has power and authority over them all. So when you're reading your Bibles, when you read how Jesus cast out demons and how he confronted the spiritual forces of evil, take comfort, take joy and rest in the authority of Jesus. Rejoice in it, for it means for you and for me and for all those who believe that Jesus saves. And he can save you, and he can deliver you from any and all of the powers of darkness. He gives freedom to the captive. He sets the oppressed free. So we can rejoice this morning. We can rejoice in Jesus and the salvation that he brings. We have been united with Christ, and we now share in his victory and triumph over sin and death and Satan. So thirdly, now we see the authority of Jesus over the natural afflictions of man. Now in the Garden of Eden before the fall, there were no afflictions. There was no disease. There was no deformity. All was good until sin came. So Jesus, having shown his authority in his word, in his authority over the spiritual world, now shows his authority over the natural world. And by this authority, we see that Jesus has the power to heal and to make well and to restore to life. So in verse 38, we see Jesus leaving the synagogue and he goes to the home of Simon Peter. And then we find that Simon's mother-in-law was suffering a high fever. And once again, we see the articulate care of the physician Luke, for he calls it alone a high fever. Simon's mother-in-law was extremely unwell, and so they ask for Jesus' help. Then Jesus tenderly goes over to her, and leaning over, he rebukes the fever. With a word from Jesus, it left her. Then we're told that immediately she got up and began to wait on them. Now, what exactly this fever was, we don't know. But I can tell you that I once had influenza A, and it absolutely floored me. I remember coming home from work one afternoon. It was a Thursday afternoon, and I was feeling completely fine. Then all of a sudden, bam, it hit me like a hammer. So coming Monday, I was still unwell, and I thought, I've already had a long weekend off work. I better go to the doctor and get a doctor's certificate. So I made an appointment, went to the doctor, and it took about 30 seconds for him to give me a diagnosis. And he used some big words to say, "Russ, you've got the flu. You're highly infectious. Stay home for the rest of the week." Well, I can tell you that come Friday afternoon, I was on the mend. But I was as weak as a kitten. I can remember walking out of our house that afternoon and going to the fruit trees we have upside our house. And it's only a walk of some 20 metres. When I got there, I had to sit down. I was exhausted from that short walk. That's how weak I was. Coming back to our passage this morning, when Jesus rebuked the fever, what happened? Immediately she was healed. Immediately her strength returned. And immediately she began to wait on them. There was not a trace, not a single lingering ailment or cough. She was completely and effectually healed by a word from Jesus. Jesus had spoken to the demon in the synagogue, and in that itself was a rebuke. Now he rebukes this woman's fever. Now the word that is translated rebuke here is the same word used by Jesus when he calmed the storm, when he commanded the wind and the waves to be still and to be calm. And instantly it was so. What did the disciples say to that? They said, "What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? To rebuke and see the compliance that follows is proof of the authority of the one who gave it." Jesus proved his authority over all. So what was the disciples' response to Jesus calming the storm? They were terrified. And that's the reaction of heart that we should have at the realization of the total authority of Jesus. As the proverb says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So following on from this, though, we see a beautiful picture of Scripture. And it says, "Now the sun was setting." And that meant that the Sabbath regulations had come to an end. And the people, having heard of what Jesus had done, came to him. And they brought all. Everybody came who was suffering from an illness or a disease or an infirmity. And we're told that Jesus laid his hands on each one, and they were all healed. And along with this, many brought those who were suffering from demon possession, and the demons trembled in fear before Jesus and came out with a shriek saying, "You're the Son of God." But Jesus rebuked each one. He silenced them all, just like he had in the synagogue. They knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the Son of God. But Jesus didn't need their testimony about him. So he silenced them, showing once again his authority, not only to cast them out, but to close their mouths. But I want you to look now at the scenes of our passage as a whole. It had been a long day. The sun was now setting. But Jesus took the time to attend each one. He attended each one. By his authority, they were all made well. So I want you to see the mercy and love and tenderness of Jesus to his people. The tenderness of Jesus and the authority that came with him. Jesus was God among men. He was God in the flesh. So again, when we read our Bibles, we need to remember that in Jesus, God became flesh. God's authority had a physical presence in the world. The Son, the second person of the Trinity, came to man in the flesh of man. He gave up the glory of heaven to live and experience the trials that we all face. And the significance of the baptism of Jesus was that as God, he didn't need to be baptized. But as a man, he needed to, so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. So when Jesus came out of the water after being baptized, heaven opened and the voice of God the Father spoke, "This is my Son, with him I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. With that, the three persons of the Trinity showed the final authority of Jesus. Jesus' ministry began with the affirmation of the Father and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The very first temptation of Jesus was him to use his own power. But Jesus, as a Son of Man, was to be totally obedient to the Father and totally reliant on the power of the Holy Spirit. The authority of God had come to men from the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was totally God, and he was also totally man. All he did upon this earth was ever according to the will of the Father. It was always according to the will of the Father, and it came through Jesus, the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus himself quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now coming into the final verses, we see Jesus' authority. Now we see Jesus withdraw to a solitary place. And as the sun began to rise the following day, Mark tells us that Jesus withdrew for the purpose of prayer. But as the locals began to awake and go out into their day, they began to look for Jesus. And when they found him, they asked him to stay. But Jesus said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Jesus was sent by the authority of God, and he was sent with the authority of God. The miracles that Jesus performed were not the reason that he came to earth, but they were to be a sign, a proof of the authority by which he spoke. The Apostle John tells us that the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus showed that he had authority and power over the physical consequences of sin. Jesus demonstrated that he had authority and power over the spiritual forces of evil. In the New Testament, and in the teaching of Jesus, we see the authority and power of his word in the preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God. God had come in the flesh to live among men, and by faith in the truth of who Jesus was and in what he has done, men might be rescued from the dominion of sin and darkness and be brought into the kingdom of God. The authority of Jesus is the final authority of God. It is the final authority of the Trinity in perfect union. And it means perfect power to deliver and rescue from sin and hell and all of its consequences. That's the civic significance of our passage this morning. It teaches us the final authority of God has come in Jesus. When you read your Bibles, don't take for granted the truth of who Jesus is. He is Almighty God, and he has the power and authority to deliver us from all of the consequences of the fall, whether they be natural or supernatural. And that deliverance is final and complete. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. God, we thank you that he is the radiance of your glory. We thank you that he is the exact representation of your being. Father, we thank you that through the power of his word, all things are sustained. So, Father, we ask now, Father, that you would help us to live lives submissive and obedient to the authority of Christ. Father, help us to walk in his way. Father, help us to follow his leading. Father, help us to be disciples that are faithful and true. That as we go about our everyday lives, that we would live them faithfully. Father, that we would reflect the light of the glory of Christ wherever we might be, whether it's at home, when we're at work, or when we're with our friends. Father, help us to remember that Jesus is our Lord. And help us to live our lives in perfect obedience. Strengthen us, Lord. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if the music team would like to come